Well, so in Colossians chapter 3 that we've been looking into, and I see why now. I had Terry read the whole passage, because although I'm not dealing with the first part of verse 12 through 15, like 12, 13, and 14 of this passage, it does talk about an illustration. Paul has been using baptism to illustrate the experience of Christian faith. He's been using the old ritual, the early church ritual, where believers divested themselves symbolically of the old way of life by taking off their clothing, leaving on the ground, going into the river and being plunged into a watery grave. Just as Christ, they were naked and they joined the Lord's death. His death was on the cross naked, and so they were baptized that way. They came up out of the water, which was symbolically of like a newborn babe coming out of the mother's womb. There was one more symbol, and Paul deals with that symbol in verse 12. And in verse 12, he says this. I'm going to reread the passage because it'll just refresh my own memory. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds all of them together in perfect unity. The two symbols there was clothe yourselves and put on. Because as they walked out of the water, there was given to them a white robe that they were wrapped around in, this white robe. And this white robe was symbolic of the new life in Christ. It was symbolic of what was just described in this passage that I just reread from the reading today. It was a holy life that was based on grace. Because the robe didn't belong to them before. The white robe was given to them. It's not something they made themselves. It's not something they paid for. It was not something they made like Adam and Eve dressed themselves up in fig leaves when they felt the shame of their sin. Well, this white robe was given to them, symbolically given, because the whole thing was about grace. Every aspect, this whole baptismal ritual, was symbolic of the grace. It pointed to the fact that salvation is by grace. It's all given to us. The deliverance from a sinful life, the unity with Christ's death, the resurrection into a new life, all of those things are gifts. They are gifts given to us. Given to us from Him alone, from Christ, who paid for them with His blood upon the cross. Well, the first way that Paul shows the Colossian Christians and us about this being given, this idea that we are given so many things by grace, that it's all by grace. The first way that he shows this is about the peace and the harmony that is given to us and given to all creation, actually, in a new community of humanity. A new community of humanity, and that is the church. It's a totally new thing. It's never been on the face of the earth before. Christ established it that day when he died upon the cross and rose again. The church is a gift of peace to a divided humanity. That's what the church really is. It's a gift of peace and unity to a divided humanity. I'll reread the verse that says that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. As members of one body. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is the presence of the Prince of Peace in our lives, who gives peace that passes understanding. Wartime can bring a false sense of unity to people. Because after the war is over, everybody's celebrating But they go back to still being just the people that they were. And people are people, with all their issues of friction and division. This is how the human condition is. God brings into that the church. The Christian's understanding of peace doesn't mean just stop fighting and submit to what's going on, to submit to a situation. Some people say, well, I think I've come to peace with that now, whatever that is. Here's a bad situation. I think I've come to peace with it. I've stopped fighting it. I'm submitting to that situation. Well, as Christians, that's not the kind of submission God is looking for. God wants us to submit to the Prince of Peace. That's where our submission belongs. Not to situations, no matter whether they're great, glorious situations or they're very depressing situations. We're not to submit to them. We're to submit to the Prince of Peace, whose peace passes our understanding. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule. May that be the government of our hearts. His peace. True peace is found only in the reign of Christ, only in the kingdom of God. And that governing kingdom, how that kingdom governs our lives. We've listed some of the ways, or Paul has listed some of the ways in verse 12, 13, and 14. But it deals with all those things in that passage. Compassion, humility, different things like that. It's all relational. It all deals with people. It deals with us as individuals who are living close to one another. And we're to have peace in our relationships. Let the peace of Christ rule. And His kingdom is about people. It's about governing people. And He governs them with peace, and He wants that peace to be in His kingdom. He wants that peace to be among us in His kingdom. Relational division, that's something in the division of relationships is something that marks the missing piece. I'm talking about P-E-A-C-E, peace. The missing piece in humanity, in our humanity. We see relational division all over the place. We see that's why we have relational division in wars, in families fighting, in politicians fighting each other and so on. Relational division. And the only way to solve that problem, the only answer, the real answer to that problem, is relational integration. Relational integration. God's plan to restore the human condition to true health. You know, because immediately in the Garden of Eden, what happened? The man and the woman were blaming each other. I mean, it was like they were unified, they were one flesh, and all of a sudden they were blaming each other. They were having discord. Human division has been the history of humanity. Relational division. Well, God, in His kingdom, in His restoration of the human condition, it doesn't allow for division. It doesn't allow for division. Whether it's between male and female, whether it's between servant and master, rich or poor, or skin color, or political philosophies, national allegiances, all these things, God brings them into one. The passage that precedes this talks about that. And then, He wants to present this plan. He wants this plan of unity to be a demonstration to all the world that there is peace. And He does this in the unity that He ordains in His church. Since, as members of one another, you were called to peace. That's what the church is. It's to be a body, the body of Christ, one church. We proclaim it every time we repeat the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. We say we believe in it. And we see division, don't we? I mean, the division in churches. All of you probably have seen this. The discord that goes on. When we see that, we are not seeing the body of Christ. What we are seeing is friction among believers who don't realize what they have been given. This is a gift. The church is a gift. We are called. We do not own the church. We do not control the church. When we try to own it, when we try to control it, that's when division begins, because it becomes a human thing, a carnally human thing sometimes. And that is not the body of Christ. That is just plain friction of humans who are not following or not having the attitude of gratitude that God wants them to have for what they have been given. We do not own it. We have been brought into it by a gift, by God's grace, by the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And when God looks at the body of Christ, He's not looking at it. He says it's one. It is one church that He sees. And He's not seeing it idealistically. He sees it in reality for what it really is. And we need to live up to that reality. And if we'll practice those ideas, if we'll put on those things, if we'll put on that white robe of righteousness, that white robe of a holy life, a white robe in the righteousness of Christ, and we live it, then we will see that unity when we come together. An attitude of gratitude should be demonstrated as we come together. Thanksgiving is not just for one day out of the year. It is by grace. It is all by grace that we've been allowed to participate, to be members of this body of Christ, members of one another. And that's why in mentioning this gift, in this passage, Paul says, and be thankful. That's what he says. You've been brought into this body, you are members of one another, and be thankful. Be thankful for it. Thank God for it. Because it is truly. And I think if we have these little triads that we've been talking about, you'll see what I mean. You'll see what I mean. More than you've seen it before, just in meeting together as a congregation. Because it becomes even more intimate. And the unity and the love is manifested more intimately that way. It's hard, I think, sometimes being in large, large churches where you don't even know the person that's sitting next to you, maybe. And sometimes what that's going to do, these triads, maybe also, after you've been on a triad for maybe half a year or a year, it's good to switch around so that you get to know other people in the body of Christ. That would maybe a good thing as we think about it. Well, new life in Christ, the new life in Christ that's manifested by this white robe, or symbolized by this white robe that they were dressed in as they came out of the water, it's distinguished by an attitude of gratitude. That's what distinguishes. That should distinguish the Christian's life. Why? Because it is by grace. It's not us. It's given to us. We should be thankful for what we have been given. Then again, this gift of fellowship is needed for Christian growth. It is needed for Christian growth. In verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God." Let the word of God dwell in you richly. You know, often it's thought that what that's talking about is that we all should have a great devotional life. But that's not what it's talking about. Because the you in that is plural. It's talking about us as a corporate group. Let the word of God dwell in us as a group, richly. And then it shows how to do that. It shows how to do that. Yes, I thank God. Oh, I know that God wants all of us to have a wonderful devotional life. God wants us to have a deep devotional life. He wants us to spend time in meditating on the Scriptures. In spending time in prayer with Him and listening to His voice and in contemplating God and looking at and praising Him for all the beautiful things that He's made in His creation and reading books that have been written by great saints of God, great devotional books. There are many, many of them. And I think He wants all of that for us. But when we get blessings from all of that, it's not just for us. It's to overflow into the lives of this body. And you see why I emphasize sharing so much. One time there was a time when I first mentioned it and said, "Oh, I don't think we should share it. I'm just afraid to share it. It's too scary." I thought, but that's what the body of Christ is. It's sharing. It's fellowship. That's what koinonia means. The communing together. And you don't do that just by being present with each other, although that's a part. It is sharing. It is speaking to one another. This is why this verse says, we do this, it is shown corporately, as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. In other words, it's not the pastor's responsibility to teach everybody. We're supposed to be teaching each other. That's why when something is shared sometimes, oh wow, I might as well not preach. It is such a blessing when maybe a 5 minute or a 2 minute sermon comes from the mouth of the congregation. That's wonderful. And it really sticks. It's really a blessing. You know, the other thing that we do here a lot is singing. And you know, it says, as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You know, singing is a sound vibration. Do you know that? The sound of singing, it's vibrations. Well, let me tell you something. That aligns us, that singing of praise to God, it aligns us scientifically. It aligns us with the rest of vibrating creation. All things in creation are known scientifically to vibrate. Everything's vibrating. Everything. Because down to the littlest atom, it's vibrating. And when we sing out praise to God in a joyful way, and people are walking around, it's built in inside. There's a vibration that resonates with them and says, that's what I really ought to be doing. I ought to be praising God. I ought to be vibrating. It resonates with them. It's like, you know, if you tap one of those sound devices that they put up to your ear, you know, ding, you'll find there's things all over the place that are starting to resonate with that vibration. And I think it shows them there's a longing inside their heart to join in that praise to God. There's something about thanksgiving and something about the joyful singing that attracts people to say, I should be doing that, because it resonates with the vibration that's in their heart, that their own vibration is urging them to have that fulfillment. And that's why the attitude of gratitude is a sign of a happy human being. It is. No matter who they are, whether they're Christian or not, because they've got it built in, it should be there, and if they don't have it. I'm glad that our country has set aside a day for a legal holiday. People are off work, a lot of them. Some in the hospital, they're not. They've got to stay in the hospital working. And it's so appropriate. It's so appropriate that we thank God for the many blessings He has graciously bestowed upon us. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time. I think about the poor atheist. The poor atheist on Thanksgiving Day, all dressed up and no one to thank. You know, think about that. All dressed up, ready to eat their big meal. There's nobody really to thank out there. Lonely world out there with no God out there to thank. No, there's something inside the heart that wants to make us praise God. Now we have submitted to the Prince of Peace. We have submitted to His kingdom reign in our hearts, His ruling in our hearts. And we've enjoyed the fellowship of the body of Christ. And it's His grace that has made us members of that body. It's not our own works, it's only Him. We have so much to be thankful for. New life in Christ is distinguished by a heart of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And we show that gratitude by the way we live this new life. That's how we show that gratitude. And that's what Paul's last point is here. Thanksgiving is in the context of our discipleship. Our discipleship. Verse 17, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are His disciples. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything we do. When we're being a disciple of Jesus, it's not just a title. It's a dynamic living out of the new life that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Everything we do, whether in word or deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If Jesus is our Lord, He's the Master, and we are His disciples, our words belong to Him. The words that come out of our mouth, they belong to Him. They are under His kingdom reign. And therefore, what is coming out of our mouth? We can actually analyze what is coming out of our mouth. Is it thankful? Is it complaining? Is it exalting God? Or is it sort of like, yeah, complaining. I can think of the word, it's mostly complaining. That really is inconsistent with the gratitude that should be in our hearts. Is Jesus really the Lord? Is what comes out of our mouth under His Lordship? It shows that we're His disciple. If our Lord is really ruling us and we are His disciples, then our deeds belong to Him. Can we place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over all that we do? Can we say, what I'm doing right now, I can say it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm His disciple. And that's why it's under His Lordship. Can we do that? That's a good way to measure it. And one of the things of these two areas, in our words and our deeds, we fail, don't we? Don't we? I fail. I think we all fail. Well, sometimes what we need to do is to reorganize our lives. They get really messed up in carrying out this thing. We say, oh, I blown it. I messed that up again. Here was my deeds or here was my words, and they weren't under the Lord's Lordship. Well, I'm going to tell you how to get it reorganized, okay? Start over. Start over by giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It gets us back on track, reminding us that all of this salvation, all of this stuff that we've been talking about, everything in the Christian life, the salvation, the grace, the kingdom reign, everything, giving up ourselves, resurrected to a new life, all of that is not our work. It is His grace. So when we thank God, it brings us back and we start all over. Oh, let me reorganize here. Let me get everything into the attitude of gratitude. I didn't do that. It wasn't very nice of me to do that. It wasn't very nice of me to say that because that's not a grateful heart. So let me give thanks to the Father and it'll reorganize my life and I can start over again. Because it's all by grace anyway. It's not something we can do. It's all by His grace that we can live this Christian life. Sometimes we do try to organize our lives, and we do so by compartmentalizing. You know, compartmentalizing? We compartmentalize things. We say, everything in its place. Everything in its place. You know, everything should have a place, and everything should be in its place. And then it's all organized, and then I'm okay. You know, well, that doesn't look like my house. And that's what we say sometimes. Place for everything, everything in its place. But we cannot do this. We cannot do this in the Christian life. No. Mm-mm. There's one compartment. There's only one compartment in the Christian life. And that is the kingdom of God. Everything falls under His Lordship. It's not like, oh, this is for this, da, 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 and then this is for Jesus. Huh? It's everything's for Jesus. Everything I do, everything I say, it's all under His Lordship. And it's under His grace as well. And then, He is to rule over every part and over every place. Everything in its place, everything has a place, all those things and all those places, they are also in this big compartment called the kingdom of God. And every single one of them falls under His Lordship. All that we have, all that we experience, all that we enjoy, all in life that we have has been given to us. They are gifts. and therefore we are to be thankful. I'm going to read these last 15 verses, or last verse from 15 to 17 again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The new life in Christ, as we come out of the baptismal waters and have that white robe wrapped around our naked bodies, and now we have a new life, like a newborn child, and we're ready to live a whole new kingdom, a whole new reign, something called the church, the body of Christ. That whole thing is distinguished by one thing, the attitude of gratitude, thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Father God, thank you so much for Thanksgiving Day. It's coming up this week. Lord, in all of the activities, in all of the getting together and seeing people and having a great time, having a great meal, I pray that we will not forget this, that you have given so much to us and we are thankful to you. It's not just a day to celebrate. It should be an activity of our hearts to really be grateful to you and render thanks. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.